Good evening. It's Monday, January 12th, and you're tuned in to Reawakening Minds. I'm your host, Dr. Nyaila Bakari-Gilliam, and we're here on the High Frequency Radio Network. Get ready to sync up. Tonight, it's my pleasure to have as my guest the incomparable Dr. Kira Taylor. She's a spiritual teacher who embodies the essence of an inspirationalist, a futurist, and thought leader. She's a published author and a prolific writer. You're in for a treat tonight as Dr. Kira Taylor unpacks the weighty topics of embracing midlife, authentic spirituality, philosophy, religion, and higher individual and collective consciousness. Now, as a celebrated and masterful spiritual teacher, Dr. Kira has spent over 20 years in Christian pastoral ministry. She has a doctorate in ministry and a master's in psychology. She has also authored 4 books: The Matriarchal Dimension, The Prophetic Dimension, Spiritual Protocol, and tonight she'll be discussing her current release, which is entitled Audacity, Reclaiming Yourself in Midlife. And we'll also be touching on her forthcoming 5th book, Spiritual Intelligence, which is scheduled for release early this year. So family, please help me welcome to Reawakening Minds, Dr. Kira Taylor. Dr. Kira, you're live on the air. How are you tonight?
I am doing very well. Thank you, Dr. Nyaila. I'm so glad to be on this program with you. I was excited all day long thinking about Reawakening Minds and all the good work that you're doing through this blog radio, and just delighted to be with you. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I am really, really appreciative of the fact that you've taken time out of your busy schedule to be on Reawakening Minds, and just excited about the place that you are at this point in life and how you're impacting the lives of others. You know, when we met several years ago, of course, you were impacting lives, you know, on a serious Christian level, and I know you as an awesome prophetess and an awesome, if you will, expounder of the word. Your books have actually, you know, over the years, The Matriarchal Dimension, I think, was the first book I think I read of you. Was that your first book?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it really, you know, it really opened my eyes into, you know, the fact that even though you were a Christian pastor, when you read that book, you realized that it was more of a spiritual thing. And
exactly.
Your subsequent book, you know, which I also have, which I'm happy, you know, The Prophetic Dimension, there you went even deeper, and then Spiritual Protocol. But audacity. Wow. Now, I have not had my book long, but I have my book all marked up, all highlighted, and I wanted to start. I want to, you know, we're going to talk about a bunch of things, but I just want to talk about a quote. Can I just give a quote from your book, something that stuck out to me? Because the book is called Audacity, Reclaiming Yourself in Midlife. And on page 69 of your book, you have this statement. You say, to reclaim oneself is an act of defiance. It is a declaration of personal autonomy, a rare feat in a world designed to instill conformity and thought control. To reclaim oneself is to reject the status quo, to rock the boat, and to distance yourself from the pack. It takes courage and audacity to take back control of your life path, your belief system, and your personal freedom. But once the decision is made, and your intention becomes to be authentically who you be, the entire universe will rise up and applaud your efforts, and all of heaven will declare the world has been waiting for you. Wow.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, Dr. Knight, I've never been able to color inside the lines. I think outside of the box.
I think
never
we're breaking
had.
Up a little bit. Okay. So, yeah, well, you know, some of us, you know, we came in that way.
Yeah.
But let's back up just a little bit before we get into audacity and spiritual intelligence. And let's talk a little bit about your journey, you know, if you don't mind. Over 20 years.
Yeah, over 20 years, exactly. I've always had a fascination with all things spiritual. I've always been on a very unique spiritual path, my early teens, and not sure exactly all of the things that came to play in my life that brought me to that, you know, that point of inquiry at such an early age, but that was me. And I wanted answers to questions. I was looking for God. I was looking for a relationship with God. And of course, the standard is that if you're looking for God, you have to start with the church. You have to conform, get involved with the church, find out what it's all about, and you have to sit back and allow that church or external authority to tell you who God is. And so you go through that process. But as I began to grow and mature, of course, I outgrew that process and I began to transcend and no longer needing that heavy, heavy structure, you know, and heavy oversight and, you know, the parental posture of the church, you know, involved in my day-to-day life. No longer needing that. being able to see God in new ways, in fresh new ways, and being able to develop and cultivate my own personal, very personal and sacred truth. So, you know, here I am, you know, so many years later, after pastoring, writing books, doing seminars, workshops, doing international conferences, travel, all kinds of stuff. You know, here I am advocating the development of your personal sacred truth, you know, knowing that you really, we really don't have to be dependent on and on external religious authority to put us in right relationship with God. You know, that innate spiritual genius is within all of us. And that's something that we need to have confidence in. We need to believe in. And that will never lead us astray. So that's kind of where I am now. And okay. Excited about it and excited to write the book Audacity. And that was a great quote. That pretty much sums it up, you know. That heaven is waiting on us. You know, we're not waiting on God. No, God's waiting on us. He's waiting on us to have the courage, to have the audacity, to step out, to be who we be, to reclaim ourselves. That's what midlife is about. It's not a crisis. It's not, you know, somebody just searching for themselves. No, midlife is a point of decision making. Okay, it's a time and a season to make decisions and to reevaluate your life, because you're at the point of maturity. You're a seasoned individual. The first half of your life is already lived. You have to make decisions now about the second half of your life, taking control, the quality of this, the quality of the second half of your life, reevaluating, renegotiating all relationships, career, your belief system. Everything is up for renegotiation. And so midlife is a season in your life where there is a release. And you come to the point of decision making. And so so it's an exciting time because you can make whatever decision you want. You know, you have to live with it. But I just chose not to, at the end of the day, not to have regrets. And I chose to live life as an adventure, go on this adventure with God, and to be my authentic self. And so that's why I wrote the book. You know, I wanted to talk about my experiences. I wanted to share the path that I took, you know, the path less traveled. You know, that famous poem by Robert Frost, and the road less traveled. And so I had to make those type of decisions. And I've never looked back. I'm excited. I see God in new and amazing ways. And, you know, it's just been a fabulous journey.
I absolutely can identify with the whole, you know, the journey that you were on, because, as you know, I too started in the traditional pastorate and had that, what I call an awakening. And, you know, it was interesting. One of the things that I haven't done some of the things I probably will eventually do as a result of this season in my life, but, I understand. Yeah, I totally understand. And maybe I didn't understand at the time why I was going the way that I was. You know, I wrote a book too. Of course, I wrote poetry, but it was actually my journey. And as you were just speaking, you were speaking about, you know, making that decision. It came to mind a poem that I have in my book, and I just want to share it because it was something that came out of me as I was, you know, in my midlife, so to speak. And I guess it was mid, since I plan to be here till I'm 120, so I was I was getting up there. But anyway, I wrote a poem called "With or Without You," and let me see if this makes sense. It says, "A whirling, swirling mass of energy engulfs my mind, then raises my vibration to meet it. In higher dimensions I soar, new galaxies to explore, black holes, secrets told, light beams, hidden streams of consciousness evolving into the lightest of light, simplistically ethereal, intrinsically surreal, yet vaguely familiar like deja vu. We've been on this ride 1,000 times. Please don't press rewind. I think I'll stop and pick daisies by the side of the road less traveled, with or without you.
Wow. Yeah, that's just something, because when you decide on a new path, and a, you know, it's like God sets you on a trajectory, and everything in the line of that path has to readjust itself to accommodate mm-hmm. you. And that's the force of nature that you carry. You know, you become a force of reckoning. And it's exactly right. There are some people and some situations that you do have to leave behind as you journey, you know. But that is mm-hmm. that is a part of life. That is a part of life. There are some people that journey with you to midlife, and then there are some relationships that just don't survive midlife. There are some commitments that just don't survive midlife, and that's okay. And that's okay. That's a part of the journey. Of sometimes of loving and letting go, sometimes of having a commitment to certain things and then letting go of growing. That's what growth and evolution, personal evolution, is all about, you know. And it's something mm-hmm. that, you know, Christians are so averse to certain, you know, certain words. Like evolution is almost a bad word for certain people because they don't hear it in church. Or, you know, they think that it's not in the Bible. But the thing is that the spirit of evolution is what creation is all about. It's about growing.
Absolutely.
And it's about, right, it's about developing. It's about becoming stronger, becoming wiser, becoming better, moving from infancy to childhood to adulthood, moving into a spiritual maturity. And the thing is that if I'm the same person that I was when I was, you know, 20 years old, if I have the same mindset and the same spiritual consciousness that I had at 20, you know, and here I am almost 50 years old, there's a problem. Something's wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are created to grow, to develop, to evolve. Everything in the cosmos grows, it develops and evolves. And individuals have to do that too. And we have to allow the people that we love and admire and respect to grow and evolve. We can't hold people in an inferior state of consciousness. We can't hold the way they were 20 years ago. You know, it's not healthy to do that. And no one should want to stay where they were, you know, 20 years ago. You know, we shouldn't be having church like we were having church, you know, in the 1980s. Something's wrong. It's a problem. You know, so it's all about growth and development and taking control and taking charge of your life. That was my issue, you know, taking charge of my life. And because there's so many times you can lose yourself to so many things, to relationships, to careers, to organizations. You can lose yourself to heavy religious indoctrination. You know, you can lose yourself and really inwardly be resentful and inwardly begin to grieve because you're stuck in something and you're trying to figure out, how do I make this right? How do I reclaim myself? And that's what my book was all about. So hopefully I helped a lot of people. That was the goal, to put it out there in such a way that it would be helpful, that it would be practical. I dealt with the practical issues of life, of making changes, of exercising free will and choice. And also I dealt with the spiritual issues, you know, making sure that that you are embracing a belief system that works for you, knowing that you can abandon any belief system that no longer serves you. All of these issues are very important for people who are transitioning in midlife. And the thing is that, you know, we've been mistaught. A lot of people think that midlife is some kind of crisis and somebody trying to find themselves and they don't know who they are and they're tripping mentally. No, it has nothing to do with that. It's a spiritual point of decision. And everybody comes to that point in their lives. It's just that most people, you know, are on the treadmill of life. They're working every day, trying to take care of all the bills, pay the mortgage, send the kids to college. And most people don't feel the pains of that transition. But I just happen to be one of those individuals who I feel and I think deeply. You know, that is my mm-hmm. gift, to feel and to think deeply. And so I think below the surface. And so, you know, I'm very sensitive to the subtle shifts and changes in life and in consciousness within myself and within others. And so that's the gift that I share. So, of course, you know, I was tapped into all these changes, and I was able to write about them. Most people don't even realize, you know, the restlessness and the boredom that they're experiencing. They don't even realize that these are all signs that change has got to take
place.
You know, you need to make changes in your life. Mild depression, restlessness, boredom, you're looking for, you know, you're looking for answers. You're searching. You're just the things that used to make you happy don't make you happy anymore. You know, the need for change. All of that. All of these are signs. You know, irritability, things brought you joy no longer serve as a fulfillment to you. You need deeper meaning in your life. All of these are signs. It's time to shift. It's time to go deeper. It's time to move, turn the page, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. And this is non-gender specific. Males and
correct.
Females
correct.
Go through this. All right,
absolutely.
And so, yeah, but the,
yeah,
you know,
so what,
going
so
back
what,
to the church,
you know, go ahead.
What I was going to say is, but going back mm-hmm. to the church, the mm-hmm. mentality, if you will, in the church is that, you know, we're all waiting for the same thing. However, a lot of the deadlines, if you will, have passed, and yet
mm-hmm.
people are still waiting with the same anticipation, seemingly on the surface. But you have to know that where we are now in 2014 and over the last maybe, you know, 10 years or so even, people have realized that things have absolutely changed, and the promises that have been put before people don't make as much sense now as they may have, you know, 2,000 plus years ago. So why are we hanging on to this? And the other thing is, and I'm going to let you comment on this, is that there are so many people trying to make it work or look like it's working for the public when they know personally, privately, that their beliefs are, they're struggling with their beliefs.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, that's very true. you know, as you know, I've been blessed to be in relationship and in contact with lots of people in ministry, you know, pastoral ministry, and interested in the private life. You know, it's very, very interesting. And there are quite a few people, you know, we counsel people for, you know, 20 plus years, you know.
Mm-hmm.
People who are in pastoral ministry, people who had some level of responsibility or leadership in the church. And people do, they struggle quite a bit within their relationships and within their belief system, period. But, you know, for a lot of people's philosophies, you know, the show must go on. And they're more concerned with public image than their own authenticity or their own spiritual and mental health. And so, you know, so people make choices. And I don't fault anybody. But people have a reason for making the choices that they make, you know, and I respect everyone's choices, you know. It's just that, you know, I made the choices that I made, and I'm excited about it, and I'm at peace with it. And that's the main thing. At the end of the day, I have no regrets, you know?
Yeah, that's the important thing, though. And, that,
uh-huh.
and that's exactly the way I felt. And, you know, of course, you know, my ministry was a much smaller, much, much, much smaller ministry than yours. But nevertheless, mm-hmm. you know, the fact is that there will be losses when you make those types, when you have the audacity to make those types of decisions, because, you know, we're talking about, you know, institution, you know, that has
yeah.
stood, and, you know, from our great, 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 you know, if you will, and we believe because, you know, even great, great grandmama, who we never knew, believed we believe.
Mm-hmm.
So we hold on to these things, and even if there is a struggle, we give the semblance, you know, to the outside world that, you know, we're holding
mm-hmm.
on to our faith. But what I like
mm-hmm.
about audacity is, you know, the fact
mm.
that, you know, you give a lot of comfort to the reality
mm.
of what we go through,
mm.
you know, this is human nature. You
mm-hmm.
take away the punitive side
of of the, you know, the angry God, the sinners in the hands of the angry God concept that we've been, you know, like you said, you know, you may talk about that when you're talking about your other book, but basically, you know, we have tried to scare the hell into people. We have, you know, I mean, you don't talk about scare the hell out, but we've scared hell into people.
Yeah, well, we were all raised on a fear-based theology, you know, that God is angry, you know, that there's a you know, godless hell that awaits every non-believer, everyone that ascribes to a different religion or faith, you know, and everyone who's a non-conformist. And, you know, we were raised on that. And that's what we were taught, and that's, you know, that's what we believed. And then as you really examine the scriptures, you know, you discover that God is not angry. You know what I mean? And that that's what the whole sacrifice of Christ was about. And that's what grace is for. You know, that's what the whole idea of grace is for. And so once you realize that God is not angry and that there is no separation between God and man, you know, you can begin to see the how fear has controlled and manipulated people into becoming dependent upon heavy, heavy religious indoctrination and heavy, heavy reliance on the paternalistic authority and the imposing authority, external authority, if you will, of the church, you know. And we need to understand that all religion is born out of fear. Okay, and fear is not the basis for which we can understand God or comprehend God, and it's not the basis for which we can understand the world in which we live, you know, or for which we can should understand others, you know. And so, so you know, whole fear-based theology is what has people twisted up, and is what has people caught in cycles of that are harmful cycles. Fear and shame and guilt and condemnation, and none of that is the message of the gospel, and none of that is what should be motivating people to serve God. You follow me? Or that's not what should be keeping us away from God, right? And so so it's really sad, you know, that we were caught up in a system that promoted fear and negative consequences, and the whole angry, punitive God, you know, motif is something that, you know, we worship God and we serve God because if I don't do this, then this negative thing is going to happen to me. All of that, you know, we have to really, really reexamine, you know, and that leads me to a quote, very famous quote by Walt, which examined all parts. And you can dismiss what offends your soul. Dismiss what offends your soul. You know, is that what you really believe? Re-examine what you have been taught. You know, and we've been taught that we were born with a spiritual deficit. You know, we're born into sin. Okay, and so we're born with a spiritual deficit. When we really examine that, is that really what the scripture is teaching us? You see. And so, I mean, it takes us all the way back to Genesis. It takes us back to the mythology of the garden, you know, of the whole Garden of Eden story, all of that. And it's really something that people need to study on their own, and people need to come to their own conclusions about, you know, and know that, you know, God is a God of love. He's a God of mercy. He's a God who is full of compassion. And we need to decide for ourselves, is God
your relationship
an angry, punitive God, right? Is he an angry, punitive God? Is he a God of punishment, or is he a teacher? People need to decide
and
for ourselves.
Would question,
is
and someone even question,
a punisher, or is he a teacher? And I think
well, look,
if
and
you really
would question
to examine
that
on
is
a deeper
he?
Level.
Listen, it's some would question whether God is a he either, because now we're going back to that,
right, exactly.
You know, patriarchal.
Exactly.
But you know what? This is a good place for us to take a break. We're at the bottom of the hour. We're going to take a break, and when we come back with more of Dr. Kira Taylor, we're going to be talking about
audacity a little bit more, and then we're going to talk about spiritual intelligence, and then we're going to open up the phone lines because I've got a book to give away.
Okay, that's right.
Okay.
High frequency radio. Sync up.
Gratitude is a wonderful thing. To wake up every morning and be thankful just for life. To see each day full of infinite possibility, and to make a decision to leave the world a better place than when you came in. Now that's gratitude. Try gratitude for your new attitude, and let negativity be a thing of the past. This has been a Meta Minute from Dr. Naila Bakari-Gilliam of Reawakening Minds, where we are reawakening minds, one mind at a time. Are you awake yet?
Peace to the gods and goddesses, kings and queens of the universe. This is your hostess, Sister L. Do you need more balance, prosperity, health, love, or finances? Or just need to take a break from that nagging court case? If you answer yes, then tune in to Prosperity Wednesdays every midweek, 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern, on High Frequency Radio, the best station on the planet. We come to elevate your subconscious, conscious, and superconscious to a wealth of information. We bring you the hottest guests with an abundance of knowledge. We vibe on solutions, not problems. I hope to hear you on the line.
HFRN presents On the Beach Radio, bringing that raw hip-hop, Fridays, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, right here on High Frequency Radio Network, the hottest radio network on the planet.
And we're back. This is Dr. Naila Bakari-Gilliam. You're listening to Reawakening Minds. My guest is Dr. Kira Taylor. Dr. Kira?
Yes.
All right. We had an opportunity to take a brief station break, and we were talking about, before the break, I brought up the subject about the gender, if you will, of God. And the reason why I say that is because, you know, we understand that patriarchal view and that view of God being, is anthropomorphized, in other words, given the attributes of man, kind of gets us all caught up. And so I heard a Native American by the name of John Trudell talk about the fact that we knew instinctively, and when he's talking about in the past, before, you know, we were taken out of our natural habitats and so forth, we knew that the earth was the mother and the sky was the father. So it was, you know, mother earth and father sky. But but we didn't give them, if you will, any attributes except the fact that, you know, we respected and that we came from them. And in my past, where I am now, the journey I am on now, you know, I kind of embrace that also, just because I, you know, and I probably pick on people because I know you know, you're conscious, you know. But we still get to, we tend to say the things that, you know, we've been indoctrinated to say. We still see God as the father or the masculine,
exactly.
And it could be the father,
exactly.
But not the father in the sense of, you know, our physical father. It's a, you know, we got to take those images, we got to erase those images out of our head because it goes along with the indoctrination. But here's one of the things wanted to talk to you about.
Can I comment on that? Can I comment on that?
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah,
please.
I was going to say that, you know, we live in a cosmos that is dualistic, in a dualistic cosmos, okay? There's light, mm-hmm. there's darkness, there's good, there's evil, you see, and there's, mm-hmm. there's day, there's night, and we reflect, humanity reflects that duality, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And when God created man, he said, I'm going to create man in my image, you know, male and female, okay? Male and female is the image of God. We find that in Genesis chapter 1. And
mm-hmm.
so God has a duality within himself. He has a duality. The spirit contains duality. Is made up of male and female, the masculine and the feminine, pater and mater, father and mother. You see, and so you know we see that within ourselves as well. You know, we all have that masculine, feminine dimension within us, and even in the Godhead that you see in Scripture, the Scriptures were translated and redacted thousands of times, and we find these Hebrew writers and Roman writers that redacted the Scriptures that spent an awful lot of time trying to erase the feminine dimension out of the Scriptures.
Absolutely.
But if you look in the Old Testament, you find that the Holy Spirit is referred to as Shekinah, and Shekinah takes on the feminine gender. Okay, because in order to have a son, you must have both a father and a mother.
And a mother, yes.
So you have, right, father, son, and Holy Spirit. Okay, well, the Holy Spirit is the feminine dimension or the feminine energy, all right, of the Godhead. And that was redacted out of Scripture. It was erased from Scripture, even in the New Testament, to hide that dimension. Even if you go in Scripture, everybody, you know, you have to question. You have to question, where are you see the apostles, but you don't see any wives, you don't see any children of the apostles. All of those things were scrubbed clean out of the Scriptures to deny and to, you know, to dismiss the feminine dimension. You know, we even find Junia, the great female apostle of the New Testament. Even the Apostle Paul spoke of her. Then you see Mary Magdalene, who was really actually a chief apostle because she was the first eyewitness of the risen Savior. All of that was redacted out and hidden in Scripture, okay? And so... So there's a lot to what you just said about, you know, the feminine dimension of God. But that's almost sacrilegious if you list that with someone else. If you list that with the average person sits in church, you know, they just don't have the capacity. They just don't, you know, they just don't have the capacity to really sit down and think of it in those terms. Because, you know, we're deep thinkers. We're thinking beneath the surface. And we're not just taking, you know, one person's point of view or perspective, one denominational perspective of, you know, or one line of indoctrination. But, you know, when you really look at it, there's a lot of truth to the Mother God, you know, scenario. It's like you can look, it's all through Scripture. But like I said, it's hidden.
There's a lot of science too in the Bible. Like for instance, even the book of Genesis, which we know now we call it Genesis, it really talks about Adam and Eve, and we understand, you know, when you go deeper, it also is talking about the Adam and evolution or evolution, because that's a process that is, you know, they call it the Big Bang theory, but it you know, to an atomic level. And the evolutionary process, which we have absolutely denied in favor of, you know, the creation theory. But, you know, there's been a lot proven that, you know, the history of civilization as we know it extends far beyond the dates that, you know, we've been given biblically.
Right.
And so, it, you know, it becomes hard now because we do read, because we do have access to the internet and so forth. We are looking at, you know, YouTube and the History Channel too. And we're, you know, we're seeing things now. People are not, you know, ignorant. It's just that I believe that we've
been
blinded,
you
so
hit it
indoctrinated.
Right there.
Yeah,
you hit it on the head right there. The internet is the game changer because you cannot suppress information any longer. And anybody that wants to study, anybody that wants to search out, can be searching for themselves, you know. You can't suppress that information anymore, you know. And I think that these are some of the topics that I list up in upcoming book, Spiritual Intelligence, that will be out 2015. My website that I would just encourage people to go to is NKOSI, www.nkosiwisdom.com. You can order a copy of Audacity, Reclaiming Your Life in Midlife, but you will also be able to order very soon, in the next 3 months or so, you should be able to order Spiritual Intelligence there as well. And that's the book where I unpack the future of spirituality, you know, and I deal with a lot of these topics. And I talk about spiritual intelligence, spiritual autonomy, cultivating the spiritual genius within. I talk about the fact that for a lot of people during this season have come to the place where, you know, we no longer need the heavy, heavy, heavy structure, church structure. We no longer need that. And we're not dependent on it. We're spiritually mature. We've been through a process with God. We have confidence in our relationship with God. And so we don't need to be in church every time the church doors open. A lot of people, most Americans now, consider themselves unaffiliated with Christianity or with a denomination. And these are people who have been faithful, who have dedicated themselves to God. Their faith is intact. Their faith in God is intact. It's just that they've transcended the churchianity system. I call it the system. They've transcended it. So, you know, so where do you go? And, you know, we just have to encourage this group of people. And it's a massive group of people. I meet people all the time who are transcending and saying, you know, I can't do it anymore. You know, I did it for 15 years. Like, you did it for 10 years. I did it for 20 years. Or I pastored it for 20 years or whatever the case may be. And I love God, but I just can't take the church game anymore. And I don't agree with every aspect of the indoctrination. Why? Because people begin to think for themselves, and they begin to engage in, you know, research, scholarly pursuit. Just some of it is just common sense, you know. And they begin to see for themselves, right? See for themselves that, you know what? I really don't agree with all of this, and I'm really not needing this much heavy structure in my life. Why? Because I have a relationship with God, and I'm confident in it, you know. So people are transcending. They've gone to a place where they don't need the spiritual parenting as they did in their earlier spiritual formation, and that's okay. That's okay. Mm-hmm. And so I talk about that. I talk about spiritual intelligence. That's the future of spirituality, where people no longer are needing the heavy external religious authority and imposing external religious authority in their life, and that's okay.
Question that you already hear? Who's your covering? A friend of mine just said that to me yesterday, that she keeps getting confronted with that. She has a prophetic, if you will, spiritual gift. She's not affiliated with the church, but everybody, she's doing the work. She has a healing work. She's a Reiki master. She's doing what, you know, she's healing people. She's being used energetically. And the first thing they want to know was, who's your covering? Who's covering you?
That's a spiritual game. That's a spiritual game that people like to play. You know, and people need to end their spiritual childhood. People need to end their spiritual childhood. People need to grow up.
and have confidence in their own relationship with God, okay? And the thing is about it's developing your own sacred truth. If you walk with God for 20 years, you know, you really don't need the approval and the permission from everybody at the church house down the street, you know? It's like walk out your faith. And this is the thing. A lot of us have a misconception about the unity of the faith. We have the belief that, you know, Christianity is this monolithic group. We're all going to agree with everything, every doctrinal point, every, you know, scripture and verse, we're all going to agree on. That's the biggest myth that there was ever put out there. From day one, there was always a diversity of thought and opinion and doctrine concerning the risen Christ, concerning Christianity. And this is another point that I make in the book, that Jesus did not come to establish any religion, but he came to deliver a mysterious kingdom. And if we translate that mysterious kingdom had to do with a dimension of higher perception and higher thought or higher consciousness, okay? Mm-hmm. And that dimension of higher consciousness is available to all and exclusive to none, okay? Okay. And it wasn't until the Apostle Paul jumped in. The Apostle Paul was the one who really established Christianity as we know it today. And what he did was he repackaged Judaism. But if you really go through the scriptures, you will see that the Apostle Paul was the contested apostle, or he was the self-appointed apostle. He was the heretic, according to the apostles in Jerusalem, James and Peter. All right, he was contested. He went off and did his own thing, and yes, he opened up the way to the Gentiles. He took the gospel to the unclean, which was a noble thing to do. However, he was viewed as a heretic to the Orthodox, okay, or to the first Christians there in Jerusalem. So, you know, so what we need to be more critical. We need to be more critical of what we read in the scripture. Because 2/3 of the New Testament was written by the Apostle Paul. Now, Jesus never came to establish a religion. If you look at Matthew 23, Jesus was not a friend of religion. He was no fan of religion. He was no fan of the Pharisaical sects. He was no fan of the religious hierarchy of his day, and he was considered a heretic in his time. His teaching was subversive, and his teaching got him crucified. Okay, so
now
you know,
let me ask you
when
this,
you look at it, he was radically opposed to a lot of what was being put out there by Judaism, and so he pioneered his own path, and it was all about higher consciousness, a consciousness that was based upon love, compassion, altruism, mercy, forgiveness, okay? And it wasn't until we get into all this legalistic stuff when Paul jumps in on the bandwagon, and he takes it and runs.
Let me go this route with you, because there, I know I've got listeners on the line that will say, well, hold up, we know, because we know now, that when this Jesus allegedly was, you know, doing what he was doing, that there was no such thing as a J, so for Judaism or Jesus, and it didn't exist, if you will. So we're talking about the entity or the one that they then took his life, whoever it is, whatever, was it, you know, Yahushua or whatever the true name of this revolutionary was, you know, because you have, you know, when you begin to study, you realize that the J didn't come into play until about 500 years or so ago, so that wouldn't work in the 2,000 plus years ago. So they've changed the whole story, but conceptually and spiritually, I do understand exactly where you're coming from, because you know, it does say that in Matthew, I didn't come to do this and this. I just, you know, basically, you know, I'm just coming to show you it in action. Pretty much, and so we understand that, but I do know that, you know, some of what we've embraced, even the names and so forth, have been changed, if you will, and as you study, you realize, well, etymology will tell you that, you know, where the origins of some of these names come from, and so some people have serious problems with that, and they wouldn't even hear what you're saying, which is based in, you know, really sound, if you will, truth, except perhaps the name
are not exactly the way we've been given. So I just want to clarify that. I want to clarify that. But one thing, you make a point that you're going to be stressing also in spiritual intelligence is a fact, and we know that the Bible is man's book about God and not God's book to man, because so many people think God wrote this letter.
Yeah, it is so true. Well, see, because when we grew up and we went to Bible school, the first thing they teach you is that God's word is a final authority, and God's word is what? Infallible. They use that word.
Infallible.
Inerrant. Yes, that's another one.
Inerrant.
They use the word inerrant. And it could be it's the furthest thing from the truth. It's the furthest thing from the truth. And that's the sad part, you know, is that it's a very, you know, unreliable document. When you look at how many times it's been redacted, it's been so much scholarship on it. Someone who is a beginner could look and see the inconsistencies. If God's word was infallible, then why does that word promote misogyny, the hatred of women? Why does that word promote genocide? Why does that word promote slavery? Why, you see what I'm saying? It's impossible for us to sit here and say that it's infallible when there's quite a bit of, you know, moral dilemmas and moral inconsistencies in the word. It's not a book of moral authority. When you look at the Old Testament and you look at the prophets slaying their adversaries and you look at all that went on, it's impossible to ascribe all of this to God. We understand that God doesn't write books. People write books, okay? And they write it from their degree of personal, you know, of spiritual consciousness. And 2,000 years ago, there was an inferior spiritual consciousness that was even more fear-based than what we have now. So humanity has transcended that inferior spiritual consciousness. And the fact is, like Dr. Shelby Strong said, the venerated theologian, he says you cannot take an old script into a new age. Why? Because that old script now represents an inferior level of consciousness. And that is why this current generation and the generations that follow, it's incompatible. It's not relevant to the times, and it represents a spiritual consciousness that can no longer work for the masses. And so in mass, people are searching for alternatives, and they're saying, this can no longer serve me, because there's so much of it I just can't line up with, all right? And so that's where people are now. And unless people understand that man wrote that Bible, and there's no man that is alive that is unaffected by the times and the consciousness in which he or she is trapped. We are all trapped within a certain consciousness based upon the time in which we are alive in the earth. None of us can escape that, okay? And so as time progresses, humanity evolves in consciousness. It adapts to higher consciousness, and you can just see that in our lifetime. You can see the evolution of consciousness, spiritual and social, in our lifetime. You can look back and see, you know, that, you know, we have progressed. We have a long way to go in terms of race relations, but we have progressed, you know. We have a long way to go in terms of the equality of men and women, but there has been progression. You can see the progression, you know. And so we have a long way to go in terms of spiritual progression, but there has been great progression. People are finally coming into a time where we can be tolerant of others, of the beliefs of others. Understanding is that there is no absolute reality, that everyone, your perception is your own, and everyone lives out their individual reality. That's why we wind up with all these different religions and all these different paths to God and all these different interpretations of scripture. Why? Because your reality is your own. And we were all created with a unique spiritual DNA as well as physical DNA. No two of us have the same fingerprint. You know, we all are uniquely different. And there is no one spiritual experience that we should all be having. And to try to impose one's view and try to correct everybody else and say, this is right, my way is right, and your way is wrong, there's a problem with that picture. And that is unsustainable moving into the future. It's unsustainable. People are not going to be able to continue that foolishness, pretty much, is what it is.
It won't be tolerated.
No, it's not being tolerated now. They just still living in a Christian bubble, you know? And so, you know, it's like humanity is evolving. And I'm concerned with humanity, whatever progresses humanity, whatever enhances and whatever helps us to grow up spiritually. I'm not concerned with any one particular sect, you know, or any one particular denomination. And truth is, there's no exclusive hold on truth. Is available to everyone, and we can all develop our own spiritual genius, and that's the amazing and exciting part of this book that I wrote, Spiritual Intelligence. So it's really exciting to put these ideas out, and I know that you know, some people will contest them because people cling to their indoctrination out of fear.
Absolutely, you know? Right. You're right about that. Yeah, and you know, there are some that will say. And I've read where religion has been used, you know, politically and governmentally, if you will, to control the masses. And if you think of the word government, you know, you're talking about governing the mind, you know, controlling the minds of people. And you'll find quotes from famous or well-known persons in history, if you will, who have, you know, Napoleon and others who have either protested, you know, what religion does or have praised it for what it does. But in any case, it's still a controlling factor. It still is, you know, a fear factor, so to speak, that has been played out for centuries. And it's time for people to, as you said, live their own reality, because we do. I notice in your book, Audacity, you talk about something that I call pre-birth planning. You don't call it pre-birth planning, but you say that before we come, we make selections about the lives that we're going to live, and who our parents are going to be, and what our experiences are going to be. And I say that that's one of the things that I, you know, I try to stress to people, that we pick this life. We have a hand in it. We're not, you know, totally, you know, we're not kicked out into, you know, never, never land and trying to find our way. What we've done is we've forgotten that we made the choice. We've forgotten why we designed the experiences, you know, which is basically a soul progression, you know.
Right.
It's for our soul's progression. So we decide to do, as you say, we need the duality. You can't have the light without the dark. You can't have the good without having the bad, and what we call the bad. You've got to have contrast in order to feel. And so does the entity, the creator, the all that is all, needs to express itself in all of our. We are aspects of that Godhead, if you will, having an ability to express itself through us. And I think it's important for people to know that, and then along the way, we get a chance to kind of do our thing. But at no time, and I think you said this, are we not connected to God at no time.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, we're going to take another break. Yeah, we're going to take another break because it's at the top of the hour. And when we come back, the phone lines are open. And here's the question. The first caller who can call in, I named five books, actually, the new book that's coming out and the four books that are out already of Dr. Kira. The first person who can call and give me the names of at least two of her books is going to get her new book, Audacity, courtesy of me. Okay, we'll be right back.
High frequency radio. Sync up.
Namaste. I see God. I see God in you. I just realized the one that I've been searching for is right before my eyes. I see God in you. You've been there all along, patiently waiting for me to see and for me to hear your song. I see God in me. Won't look without no more. The divinity inside of me, you I will adore. I see God in me, and it's so wonderful to know. I don't have to look outside myself because I am God's divine flow. This has been a Meta Minute with Dr. Naila Bakari-Gilliam of House of Reawakening Minds, where we are reawakening minds, one mind at a time. Are you awake yet?
This is Dr. Naila Bakari-Gilliam inviting you to tune in every Monday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific to Reawakening Minds here on the High Frequency Radio Network. Join me and my guests for lively discussion and insight regarding all things spiritual, metaphysical, and holistic. This show is for everyone. Believers, non-believers, seekers, and those who simply know there's more to spirituality than you've learned from mainstream religion or institutions of higher learning. We're reawakening minds, one mind at a time. Are you awake yet?
HFRN presents On the Beach Radio, bringing that raw hip-hop, Fridays, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, right here on High Frequency Radio Network, the hottest radio network on the planet.
All right, we are back live with Dr. Kara Taylor. Hope you are enjoying this awesome interview here on Reawakening Minds on the High Frequency Radio Network. Dr. Kara?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, we have a caller. Well, I guess somebody here on the line. So we're going to take that caller that has a question and think they want to respond to the my challenge. Sister Cindy from Maryland.
Hello.
You're live. How are you?
Hello, Dr. Naila. Hello, Dr. Kara. Nice to meet you.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing lovely. I wanted to give you the challenge with the two books. And then also,
okay.
I'll do that first, and then I wanted to just make a quick comment, if I may.
Sure. Go ahead.
Yeah. So the first book is Spiritual Protocol, Restoring Honor and Divine Order. And then the second one is The Matriarchal Dimension.
Okay.
Yes. Positioning Spiritual Mothers.
Yes. Okay. Yes. You got the whole. Okay. So we'll make sure we get your the engineer will get your mailing information before you hang up.
Okay.
And you have won the book.
Thank you. And I also wanted to just say that I just want to thank you for allowing me to be free in my gift and what I do, because I've wrestled and straddled the fence for a while now between religious dogma and spirituality. And the work I do is healing work. I lay hands on and heal people and have a prophetic gift. And, you know, just had to have situations where people have said, under whose authority are you laying hands? You know, who are you calling on? Who's covering you? And I know that God is working through me, and it's nothing but love and light coming through me. And when those questions are posed, it sends me into confusion. I know I'm doing the right thing because I hear and feel the voice of God, and not I don't listen to men. But it's difficult when you have those kind of comments going on and people are pushing you that way to put it in a religious, you know, it has to be put in a religious box in order for it to be acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I just wanted to say that all the things you were saying have been so helpful.
Yeah, and so, you know, I'm just going to believe with you that God would lead you to a circle of people who can receive your gift freely.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that sometimes people who are very heavily indoctrinated have a lot of rules in their head about how a gift should operate and how you should, you know, conduct your ministry. But there is a circle for you, and there God has a place for you.
that he would allow your gift to flow freely and uninhibited and be well-received. And so that's going to be a special place. And the people you are now that has shown resistance to your gift is just a sign to you that, you know, you're not home yet. That's, you know, that God has another circle for you. Yeah.
Okay, because I'm always asking, who am I? Who am I? You know, because in the religious circles, I have a prophetess. You know, they will call, you know, we call it a prophetess, but then in the secular world, it's an intuitive. So then I kind of like dangle between those two. You know, I kind of straddle, trying to find my place, and know that my ultimate work is a healer. I'm a healer. Is what I've been called to do, and to be a service to those who are hurting.
Well, the more heavily indoctrinated an individual is, or a group of people would be, the more they would want to control your gift. Okay, so that's just a sign to you, you know. So, that's just some insight for you.
Yeah, because I've been running from those who have been calling on me and saying, you know, you need to be in a church doing deliverance. That's where you belong. You need to be in a Pentecostal church. And I, when that has happened, I felt so unhappy. I felt trapped and confined and not able to flow freely in my gift. And all I call upon is God. I read my Bible. I ask him to work through me when I'm laying hands on. I ask him to give me guidance. And I always tell people, he's not that white man sitting in the clouds. He's a big spirit. He's a big spirit that flows through all of us. But it's this thing I have to, when you started speaking, I was like, thank God, someone else understands. But you have it with such authority. And you have, without a shadow of a doubt, you know what you're talking about because you've been there. And I appreciate that about you. I really do.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
God bless you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Make sure we get your information so that we can get that book to you.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're quite welcome. I'm not sure if we have any other callers on the line, but Dr. Karen, we're going to keep going because this is good stuff. I'm going to talk a little bit, going to go back to, you know, I want to back up. Can we back up a little bit, go back into Audacity, because, you know, that's the book I have in hand, and that's the book I marked all out. The interesting, there are just so many awesome things in this book that I don't even know where to start. But I know that this is changing lives. I can see how easily, you know, a life can be changed by reading this because just, you know, with what our caller just said, you know, when you read or hear something that sparks that aha moment in you or that finally agrees with your spirit, then you know you're not crazy or that you said somebody else has been there. I think that this book, like I said, I want to highly recommend it to both males and females, not just women. Although, you know, you can write heavily from a female perspective when you're a female, but when you're writing from a spiritual perspective, it's going to cover all bases. And that's what you do in this book. You know, you talk about not only, you know, those when you come to that point as a just as a being, but you talk about the various genders. You separate them out and talk about what men go through versus what women go through. And I think that that's part of the challenge of midlife. You address that is that women a lot of times we might just reach our, for instance, because you touch on sex and everything else. So we reach our sexual peak, say at midlife, where men may be experiencing, you know, sort of the downside, if you will, of that based on, you know, and you talk about a lot of stressors and there are other factors. I mean, there could be health factors and so forth, but there are even outside factors that affect men. And and so I guess it's where do you find that balance? You know, if you, somebody's listening and they're married and, you know, you may be the wife and you're just like now feeling like ta-da, kids are grown, you know, are gone. And now I really feel like, you know, I could be Jane to your Tarzan, but where did Tarzan go? You know?
Well, yeah, well, the men and women switch roles almost in midlife, you know, whereas, you know, when a man is young, he goes out, he conquers the world, and, you know, he does all this, he's high libido, full of testosterone, all of that. And, you know, the woman is full of pregnancy hormone, full of estrogen, and, you know, and she's more relational, and a lot of times she's dedicated to the home and children and so on and so forth. And even if she's working and a career woman, she still is, her priority is that home and those children. So she can't spread her wings and fly yet. But then as midlife approaches, the children grow up. And, you know, as nature would have it, the women become full of testosterone and, you know, our estrogen levels drop and we switch places. And the woman, you know, she takes off and she spreads her wings and she flies and she's all about, you know, that second win and finishing those projects and writing that book and writing the movie script and opening the business and, you know, all that. And the men slow down, you know, in life because they've done it all. They've reached the peak in their career and they slow down career-wise. They finally learn how to nurture and develop their own and cultivate their own spirituality. They slow down sexually, and the women take off sexually in their life. You know, so it is. It's a reversal. It's a total role reversal in midlife, and it is true. And I think it is tough on a lot of relationships. A lot of relationships don't survive it for a lot of reasons. And they're calling it now gray divorce. And divorce is leveled off, with the exception of gray divorce. Divorce for ages 50 and up is going through the roof because people are deciding that, you know, I'd rather not spend, you know, my second half in a mediocre relationship. You know, I'd rather either, you know, go on an adventure or the love of my life thing or just focus on my career or whatever. So, yeah, there are a lot of dynamics that play into that gray divorce situation. And, you know, I'm not necessarily an advocate of divorce or of marriage. I just think people need to do what's best for them and what works for them. And my thing is you can break up with your fears in midlife and decide that whatever no longer serves you, you can certainly walk away from. So.
And that's a good point, for people because I'm sure that there are many who have reached that point and you kind of get to, you know, now what do I do? So a lot of people opt to become, you know, or to become miserable because of the, you know, the expectations and standards that have been set and established, or they do things, you know, sort of clandestinely, so in order to compensate for that, but. What I love about Audacity is that, you know, you give people in that book a release, not like you're God or anything, but you give whatever's already in the reader who's saying, you know, come out of that shell, come out of your, you know, get out of that, break out of that mold, get out of the box. You kind of lay a pathway through the, you know, very, very well-written material that you have here for somebody to start to go on that path towards what is the best me that I can be and how do I get there and what is my authentic self, you know, how can I live unapologetically. When you read this book, you see that you can do that and not have regrets.
Exactly. And your life does depend on others. And I think that's the first deliverance, is to get over what people think about you and decisions that you make. And know that you're free to make those decisions, and to make those decisions with courage, dignity, and you can reclaim your authenticity. And that's what's so, you know, exciting in the second half of life, you know. And so I know a lot of people are there. So the book is a blessing. I know it will be. So people need to go to my website,
That's NkosiWisdom, NkosiWisdom.com. You can order your books there. Check my website for the new book, Spiritual Intelligence, that will be out in the next 3 months or so. And you know, you can email me at NkosiWisdom at gmail.com. And I'd love to hear from you. And so it's just, you know, it's been a blessing. How much time we have?
Mm-hmm. Well, we have a few more minutes. I don't know. I guess no one else has called in. I kind of thought we would get some more calls. But
okay.
They're probably just listening. But, you know,
yep.
I will say that, you know, I'm looking forward to the two of us and others kind of getting together, you know, sometime during this year and
yeah.
being maybe meeting in Atlanta
yeah.
to kind of have an event where people may, you know, our listeners and others, people who are experiencing either midlife or just experiencing that, I know that there's more for me spiritually,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of keep your ears open and eyes open
mm-hmm.
because there's going to be some things that are going to be coming up, and we're going to kind of try to work together in some of those venues to bring you as much information and as much assistance. I think that you know, iron needs to sharpen iron. Again, we, you know, nobody wants a new religion. We don't need religion. We need, you know,
mm-hmm.
true relationships, just, you know, relationships and friendships, just like our previous caller, you know, kind of felt like she was out there all by herself. You know, there
mm-hmm.
needs to be people that, you know, you can pick up the phone or email or text that can help support you, you know, in
mm-hmm.
this journey, because I tell you, it can be very brutal. That's one of the things about Christians, unfortunately, though,
mm-hmm.
we shoot our wounded.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We shoot
our
those
wounded.
That, yeah, and look, and leave them for dead. Leave you for
yeah.
dead. Yeah.
So
it's a terrible thing.
And I said we, but I actually don't consider myself, you know, a Christian anymore as much as I consider myself a spiritual person. So, but, you know, when
exactly.
I was there, you know, we were all, you know, a part of the, you know, the war party, you know, we were dancing around the victim, if you will. And so, you know,
mm-hmm.
I had repented of all of those actions because, you know, they were supposedly acts of love. But we realize now when you, in retrospect, you know, that it was very punitive. We were just, you know,
oh, yeah.
acting out. Yeah.
Yeah, we were acting out, right, our ideas of an angry God. You know, the
yes,
fear-based indoctrination. We were acting, we were mirroring what we saw in the Word, you know, or what we thought we saw in the Word, what we were taught. Yeah, it's a dirty game, you know. And so I'm just glad to be free. I'm just glad to be outside of the church bubble and free of the, you know, Christianity thought box that I was in. And I would just encourage people to be strong enough and have enough confidence in your own relationship with God. People sit in church for years, bound, you know, bored to death, bored to tears, hearing the same word, the same message. There's no life there. You know, dig deeper. You know, dig deeper and connect with people who are free themselves, you know, and know that God
Absolutely.
Is with you. And
Absolutely.
That does not need assistance or the approval of anyone else. Yeah.
That's right. And I say that in the excerpt from my book, it says there is a widespread knowing in the collective consciousness as if to regain memory after a long bout
mm-hmm.
with amnesia, rediscovering
mm-hmm.
the spiritual self and the soul's forgotten mission and purpose is about ascending and transitioning into higher conscious awareness of one's own selfness and divinity, not by earthly permission, but by divine cosmic birthright. And that's what you're saying. We're getting it from the universe. But listen, we have one more caller on the line. I think we have Sister Aiko from Atlanta on the
okay.
line. Sister Aiko, you're on the air. With Dr. Kira.
Hi, God bless you tonight. Hey, got Dr.
Thank
Kira and Dr.
Hello,
Gilliam.
Hello, how
God
are you?
You
how are you?
Hello,
Hi,
how
are you? Good. I just wanted to say that I'm really blessed by the program tonight. I've known Dr. Kira for many years, and I just really wanted to thank personally Dr. Kira for just encouraging all of us to think for ourselves, you know, and I think that out of everything that I've listened to tonight, it takes a free mind to be able to receive the thought process and the evolution that occurs and that God certainly wants to occur in our lives. So I thank Dr. Cure again for being such a thought leader and for allowing us to have that opportunity for freedom. So that's all I wanted to say tonight. And
thank you for the program.
Thank you so much. Thank you for listening. Yes. Thank you for listening. And thank you. Yes.
Thank you.
Again, we want to make sure you go to Dr. Kira's website. That's what, www.knosiwisdom.com?
Yes, NKOSI. It's NKOSI. NKOSI Wisdom. 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 NKOSIWisdom.com. And you can order the book there. You can peruse the website. And like I said, the new book will be out very soon. And so we're just really grateful to God for your support and your kindness. And I just want to thank everybody out there for listening in. Thank you, all my friends on Facebook and everywhere. Thank you, and God bless you.
I just want to invite our listeners to tune in every Monday here on the High Frequency Radio Network for Reawakening Minds. We come on every Monday, 10 p.m. to 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Next week, my guest, brother, I want to say his name correctly, but it's Tarare. He is an awesome professional astrologer. He is an astrologer to some of the stars, and that's one of the things. When you become free, then you can embrace all modalities. You know, some people,
exactly.
You know, I have a colleague that works as a, you know, on a psychic line because he was in the church, but you know how we can't get your gifts appreciated there. And she told me that most of her calls come from pastors and bishops and apostles to the psychic line. So let's be above board. I embrace astrology. The book is a sun book. It's a book of the sun, you know, if you will, and the cosmos, you know. It says look to the heavens. And so astrology plays an important part in so many of our lives, and even the lives of the people who are leading us, they have astrologers. Trust me. They don't do anything until they know the movement of the sun, the moon, and the stars and the planets in relationship to what their plans are. And we're sitting here flying by the seat of our pants, and we have modalities and mechanisms that exist to, you know, kind of chart the way. So brother who's going to come, he's a professional, I mean, top notch. I'll let him say it, but he does some serious work for some stars and business people and so forth. He's going to be on our show next week. He's going to do personal readings, so we'll probably be able to get maybe about 4 or 5 good readings in that night. So you're going to want to tune in, next week for that particular show. I'm excited about that. And then the following week, I'm going to have another great show. So just keep tuning in, and we're going to get you back, Dr. Kira.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Naila. Yeah. I really appreciate coming on your show, and I look forward to hopefully coming back, and I look forward to us networking and partnering on some great events, actually.
Absolutely. I'm excited. I love Atlanta. So, you know, I'll jump on a plane and fly down there and be at your service. We'll do whatever needs to be done. You're listening to the High Frequency Radio Network. This is an awesome network. I'm always grateful to the founders, Brother Youssef and Brother Paul and everyone who's involved, Brother Q and the sisters, everybody that's involved with High Frequency Radio Network. I'm just appreciative, you know, of this opportunity and this platform to be able to speak to you all over the world, actually, because you could tune in from anywhere. So we appreciate you. You know, email us. You can get me at Naila, N-A-I-L-A-H, Gilliam, G-I-L-L-I-A-M, @gmail.com. Email me. Dr. Kira, you're still going out and doing, you're available to speak and so forth, right? You're doing conferences
absolutely.
And so forth. Email her, email me. I mean, we'll come to your city, your state, your event, and we'll drop some truth on you. So thank you so much again. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. I love you. I'm so glad we reconnected. I'm so glad we reconnected on the same path.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, indeed.
So we want to
enjoy.
Yeah. In these last few minutes, I don't know if there's anything you want to say. You have anything coming up? We've got a minute or two. We can say something.
No, just for people to, you know, drop me an email, encocwisdom@gmail.com. And again, visit the website, and we'll have some good stuff up there for you to read and think about and check mind, because I'm into expanding minds. And once the mind is expanded, you can never go back to an inferior state. You know, once you read one of my books, it's over. It's over. You may not even consciously understand that, but on a subconscious level, a shift has been made. Even if it doesn't manifest to a year, two, 3 years later, it will happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Again, thank you so much. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in to another edition of Reawakening Minds here on the High Frequency Radio Network every Monday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. We are reawakening minds, one mind at a time. But are you awake yet? Until next week, thank you.
Radio. Sync up.